Hey, this is June 23rd, and the topic this month is scenarios.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. Once again, I hope that is starting to sink into everybody, that you truly are one with the universe, that you are becoming gods, that you're always moving closer to that idea, because you intrinsically have all the qualities of God. If you believe that God created you, then you have to have those qualities. So those qualities are the qualities of love and kindness, creativity, all the wonderful things are inside of us. And it is up to us to find those, bring them out to the forefront. The world wants to tell you that that cannot be done, that that is not the way it is, that you are human beings, and that your earthly parents, you inherit everything from your earthly parents. You inherit a great deal of things from your earthly parents, but you also inherit from the Creator. So, it's always the idea of moving up in consciousness, it's always the idea of getting a bigger and a better idea of yourself and a bigger and better idea of God. We can live on all these different planes and so forth, and it works quite well for people to say, I have the qualities of my father, I'm just like my father, he had a temper, therefore I have a temper. Well, if you want to live in that, if you want that to be who you are, all well and good, but you can move up in consciousness to a higher consciousness and say, yes, I had an earthly father, I respect my earthly father, but I also have a heavenly father, and I'm going to use the qualities of my heavenly father. The world does not want you to know that you can do that. It wants you to always stay on the same plane here. And the idea of this teaching is to show you that there's a different way to think and a different way to go through life and be. That different way is to move your consciousness upward, so that you're thinking bigger, better thoughts about yourself all the time. You're opening them up, opening up new possibilities. If you think that you're only human, if you think you only came through your mother and father, that's as far as you're going to be able to go. But if you think, oh, a heavenly father, I have those same qualities as that heavenly father, you can start to find those within you, and you can start to do something. Now, how do you find them within you? Many times I've said this before. Assume a virtue if you have it not. That comes from William Shakespeare. Just assume that you have these things and they will start to appear because you do have them. You were born with them. They are intrinsic within you. But we don't bother to bring them to the forefront. And that's what this whole thing is about, bringing your best qualities to the forefront, or the qualities of this thing that we call God. And each and every person has a different idea of what God is. And that is quite all right, because we're individualized expressions of this thing called God. I was in a discussion, not in it, I was listening to a discussion at lunch today, and it was about mothers and how bad mothers, the two women were saying how bad their mothers were and so forth, and she couldn't believe it, this, that, and the other thing. And as I left, I said to the one who knows this teaching, I said, well, you have to remember, you picked your parents. You picked that mother. So there has to be something that you need to know. You say, and most people do not, the world's not going to tell you that you picked your parents. You see, you are always consciousness. You will always be consciousness. You will always be life itself, but in a different form. And you are floating around somewhere, we'll call it in the ethers or whatever you want to call it, and you decided, oh, I think I'll incarnate on this planet. Now you have to look around and find parents, because the only way you can arrive on this planet is through somebody. So you come through your parents. You come through your parents. So you have to take the responsibility that you picked those people. and then find out, what lesson am I learning? And when I use the word lesson, please, it's never in a punitive way. It's to gently nudge you into a different consciousness. Oh, now I see why I did that. Now I see why I did this. There's no punishment in the universe. There's no punishment from this thing called God. Wherever that came from, I have no idea. But it's been around for so long that people think that we have a vengeful God. And it had to start with primitive people. And we still have a primitive God. And we still, even though we glorify this thing and we put robes on it and we do other things, it's still very primitive. Very primitive. So we have to move out of that consciousness and say, this God that I am part of, this universe that I am part of, is nothing but good. And if I came from good, I must be good. The other thing to remember is, if you consider God to be perfect, something that's perfect cannot create something that's imperfect. And the world wants to tell you there's always something wrong with you, that you cannot be perfect. And we had that wonderful example of this man called Jesus. And they said, oh, look at him, he's perfect, he's this, he's that. But because he's the Son of God. But you cannot be the Son of God. There can only be one. I'm here to tell you that we are all sons and daughters of God. We are all begotten by God. And this thing of setting this man Jesus as an example of perfection and saying he's the only one that could obtain that is absolutely wrong. We can all obtain that. You ever seen that little thing that says, Jesus is God? Jesus is God. Well, if Jesus is God, you have to be God also. Otherwise, it doesn't work. You cannot say those things. So, get a new concept of yourself and a new concept of this thing called God. And you can only do that by thinking for yourself. You can come to this class and I can babble on and I can tell you all this stuff. Sounds good. Or maybe it doesn't sound good. But you have to make up your own mind. What do I think about God? What do I think about myself? And am I going to allow the world to convince me differently? Do not allow the world to convince you. The world is very convincing. The other thing that's very convincing is your own mind. And what do we know about our mind? We are not our mind. Our mind is ours to use. So you have to learn to use your mind. So this month, we were talking about scenarios. And while I was talking about, I use the word scenarios, is all the little stories that you have going on in your mind about people, about yourself. They're just scenarios, and they always will take you down the wrong path. They always will take you down the wrong path. So you have to become a witness to your own thinking. You have to say, oh my goodness, look what I'm doing to myself. Because there's nothing on the outside of life that has any power over you. It's what you are thinking that has the power. And you have the power to change your thinking. This whole teaching is about choice. You can choose to think differently. And you, if you want to improve your life, if it's not the way you want it, you have to say, ha, it's because I'm not thinking correctly. I'm not thinking the thought that I want to think. And then start to think the thought that you want to think. With that, would you read that and pass it on to them?
I experience the fullness of life.
I experience the fullness of life.
I experience the fullness of life. I experience the fullness of life.
I experience the fullness of life.
And I experience the fullness of life. What does that mean, the fullness of life? Most of us are not living the fullness of life. We're not living the abundant life. We're not living the prosperous life. We're not living the healthy life. Why? Because we keep thinking that there's something wrong with us or something wrong with the world. There may be things wrong with the world, but there is nothing wrong with this thing that we call the universe. There's nothing wrong with this thing called God. So you have to start thinking differently about that. If you want to experience the fullness of life, that means you want to have peace of mind, you want to have joy, you want to have fulfillment. You have to find those things within yourself. And you have to stop looking out at the world, making up stories or scenarios, and say, none of that makes any sense. None of that makes any sense. I'm thinking next month to do the series on I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. And that's the problem. We think that not only are we in this world, we are of this world. And we are not of this world. We are completely different than that. The world wants to convince you that. Most of the people that you're around want to tell you that. Well, here's life experience. Here's all life is. Most people are suffering from what I call the nits and fleas of life. They're always in some kind of trouble. They're always in some dramas going on. Something's happening here. Something's happening there. I had a client got completely upset because her husband didn't have the pool ready for her, her swimming pool ready for her. That's not living in the fullness of life. If you can't, what does a swimming pool have to do with your happiness? Yes, it would be nice if it was filled. But if it's not filled, if it's not the right temperature and all, that has nothing to do with anything. You have to change your mind and say, well, I can swim in this. I can do this. I can do that. Years ago, my mother came to visit me when I lived in North Carolina, and she brought a friend with her. The lady's name was Lil. And my mother stayed about a week or 2 weeks with me. I can't remember now. But anyway, she kept saying to Lil, I have to get back. I have to get back. My husband will have that kitchen a mess. He'll have grease everywhere. And Lil looked at my mother and said, Alma, what's a little grease? Her whole life was based on grease, on what, you know, on the kitchen, what the kitchen looked like and all. That's not experiencing the fullness of life. That's not experiencing the fullness of life. Now, here she was on vacation, and all her mind was in the kitchen, you see. So she wasn't living in the now. She wasn't living in the fullness of life. And then the stories that she was telling herself, she was absolutely, I'm sure, visually seeing my father frying bacon, eggs, or whatever, and grease just flying every which way. And we do that to ourselves in all kinds of things. And that's what I call the nits and fleas of life. Does it matter? Does it matter? Yes, it would be nice. And as she would say, well, it doesn't matter to you because you don't have it to clean up. She had it to clean up. Tell him to clean it up or stop it. But don't let your life be dictated by these small, little, trivial things. I think there was a book out called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. And that's certainly the small stuff. In fact, don't even sweat the big stuff. There's no sense to that. That's not living a fulfilling life. But we tell ourselves stories that we have picked up from our family and from the world itself. You know, long before they had writing or wrote anything down, people just passed stories along. And that's what we do in our mind now. We just pass stories around and we think that they're real. And we make most of that stuff up. Most of the things that people worry about, you know, never occur. Most of the things, I think it's 98%. Now, here again, how they figure that out is beyond me, but I read that somewhere. So, give up the worry. Give up all these little things and stop these stories and these scenarios that are going on inside of your mind. Make your life what you want it to be. The only way you can do that is by training your mind to think correctly. By training your mind to tell you what you want to hear and not what the world is telling you or not what somebody else is telling you. I had another client this week went on about his work and how they were and this people were doing this, that, and the other thing, yada, yada, yada. And we've often talked about this. Do not take things personally. You can't take anything that anyone does or says to you personally. If you do, they have you hooked, and you're hooked into that then, and you think that that's real. I don't care what people tell me or what they think about me. That's none of my business. And I certainly wouldn't take anything personally that people do. You just have to look and say, that's the way that person is. You know, we want to change people. Well, you're never going to change anyone. You can only change yourself. Now, when you change yourself and you change your thinking, that person changes because you no longer perceive that person the way you did when you were thinking in the other direction. And that's this miracle, to be able to change your thinking. And then when you change your thinking, the reality in front of you changes. But people want to look at the reality and try to change that reality that's going on in front. You cannot change the reality that's going on in front of you. Not by looking out. By looking in and changing your perspective. Then the reality changes. We do not see the world the way it is. We see the world the way we are. We always see with our mind. So if we think that there's mean people out there, hateful people, murderers, and all this kind of stuff that's out there, then that is what's in front of us. And I'm not denying that those things do not exist, because in this world there are all possibilities. All that stuff happens, not only the possibilities in the universe, it happens on the lower plane, on this plane of action. But you have to decide, do I want to buy into that or don't I want to buy into that? I have not watched news, wouldn't know anything that's going on for, I don't know, 30 years or something. People say, how can you get through the world without having news? Well, apparently quite well. I've reached the age of 68. And I'm doing quite well without knowing what's going on. I don't have to know that. I'm a little upset at the present moment because I get up in the morning always and I do my reading, but I turn on the classical station and they always have to tell me what the stock market's doing. You know, it's off today. It went down here. It did this. It did that. I think, why do I need to know any of that? You don't need to know any of that stuff. It'll come back around or it won't come back around. But it's not your life. That's a knit and flee. You don't have to worry about that. What is the main thing in life that you have to know about yourself? Rhetorical question. The main thing you have to know about yourself is that you are being taken care of. You are being taken care of by this thing that we call God, because God is in, as, and through you, always in, as, and through you. So if you know you're being taken care of, you're going to be taken care of. That's what we have to know. But you think, oh no, this thing called God, he's all just wonderful. This whole thing is just absolutely wonderful. But where's the money? Because you think God can't produce money, you have to go out and get it somewhere else. But if you know that God is taking care of you, the money is going to arrive. The money is going to arrive. I don't know how long I've been teaching this class, and I decided years ago it was called Prosperity and Abundance Including Money, and that was simply because I was in an acting class at the time, and none of those actors could come up with the fee to pay the monthly thing to stay in the class. So I said to the teacher, let me see if I can help with this. But most of them got it, and some of them never got it. But money is always going to be a side effect of your consciousness. If you have a wealthy consciousness, you're going to have money. If you have a poverty consciousness, you are not going to have money. I don't care if you make $100,000 a year. You will always feel poor, and you will not have the money. It will just slip through your hand. But if you have an abundance and a prosperity consciousness, money will be there for you. So give up the tyranny of money. People live under this tyranny. I need money. I need this. I need. You have to know that you're being taken care of, that your needs will be met. Stop fretting. Start just enjoying your life. And then you'll feel the fulfillment of this life. You'll feel filled with something. But if you constantly think, I need this, I want that, I desire this, how many people are familiar with the expression, God knows a long before you exactly what you need, and is always taking care of you? But we read these things. They talk about them in all the major churches and all the major religions. But we don't believe it. We don't believe it. Is it because we can't see this thing we call God is invisible? The same. If we could see God, we could say, hey, hello, send me money. I don't know why we do that to ourselves. But I will tell you that in my own experience, when I know that I am being taken care of, I am being taken care of. And for years, I thought I had it to do. I had to take care of myself because we're taught that you have to be independent. Yes, you have to be independent. But when I discovered that this thing called God would take care of me, would never let me down, my life changed completely. So I don't worry about all the things that other people worry about. I just don't worry about it, and I don't buy in to what the world is telling me. I don't have scads and scads of money, but I'm very wealthy. When I want to go someplace, the money appears. I may not have it, but somebody says, you want to come? You want to go someplace? Oh, yeah, I'll do that. My mind doesn't say, oh, I better look and see if I have the money. I say, no, yes, I'll go. And then the money's there for me to do it. How does that happen? I don't know. Nor do I bother to question that. I just know that it happens. Because I absolutely believe that I'm being taken care of. I believe that I am one with this thing called God. So I don't allow little stories and scenarios in my mind to tell me differently. Remember, Fun and Entertainment Committee, Ways and Means Committee. Let God be the ways and means. My mind, I think, is a good mind. Not the most probably. There are people that are more intelligent than I am. But I know that this thing called God is much more intelligent than I am. So why wouldn't I say to God, do this for me? I can't do it, but I know that you can. And lo and behold, God does it for me. That's all. So, here we are on this plane of action. Here we have this mind that constantly wants to tell us something different. Come up with a story. Come up with a scenario to take us somewhere else. And most of the scenarios, well, not most, I'm going to say all across the board, the scenarios you come up with are not good scenarios. They're not good scenarios. So don't do that to yourself. If they were good scenarios, all well and good, but they're usually not. They're going to turn into disaster somewhere along the line. We live in a world that tells us you cannot do this because disaster is coming. I turned on the television and Allstate, I wouldn't buy anything from Allstate. I wouldn't buy insurance policies from Allstate because they have somebody in there saying mayhem happens. Mayhem is everyone, everywhere. Now, if you think mayhem is everywhere, what are you going to run into? Mayhem. You're saying, mayhem's not everywhere. You know, what's everywhere? God is everywhere, not mayhem. But to sell insurance and to keep people in fear and so forth, yes, you have to buy this insurance policy because mayhem is just around the corner. It's waiting to attack you. You never knew when it's going to happen. You see, if you come to that conclusion that all is God, God is all there is in this whole universe, and we're all part of this God, and yada, 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 then why do we say when people leave, be careful? I never tell people to be careful. I like that God go with you routine. What is there to be careful about if only God is out there? You see, but that's in our conversation, that's in our language. And remember what language does and words do? They structure thought. Words structure thought. Language structures reality. So you have to change your vocabulary and you have to change the way you are talking and the way you are perceiving life itself. And you have that choice to be able to do that. That's your choice. You can go through the world, and I never tell anyone, oh, that's the wrong way to go through. If they're quite happy going through life that way, if they want to be into competition, this young man that I was telling you about at the office, his brother, he told me, is so competitive, he'll never say that he's wrong. He's always right about everything, and he competes with everybody. Well, I said he must be very unhappy. You see, we do not teach competition. This teaching is not about competing. It's about being creative. It's about being creative with your mind. There's no such thing as competition. Then a rhetorical question. Do you know why there's no such thing as competition? Because there's only God. God never competes against itself. You can't say always God and then have competition going on. The world wants competition, so they came up with this other alternative called the devil. So now the devil and God are always competing with each other like the world itself. Like the world itself. Don't buy into that. Don't let that happen to you. Use your thinking. Use this mind and use it correctly. Instead of allowing the world and all these old, worn out sayings and beliefs to continue and to continue and to continue, we have to stop them. And it's up to us now. You know, at my age, I think I have to really put the pedal to the metal here and do something, you know. I mean, I like to live to be 100 and so forth, but even if I live to be 100, that's less than 40 years from now. So I have to learn to change my thinking now if I'm going to make an influence on this world. And that you make an influence on the world by changing your thinking, not by making tons of money, not by building a building, not by putting a wing on a hospital and all that. That does not change the world. What changes the world is when you change your consciousness and you start to see God everywhere. When you start to see beauty everywhere. When you start to love yourself every minute of every day. Then you are contributing something because you all know the idea of race mind. Race mind is contained within the mind of God. Because you cannot have the mind of God and race mind. That would be duality. So in the mind of God, there is race mind. Our job is to get out of that and make the mind of God live more in the mind of God than down here on this little thing that we call race mind, this little plane of action called the law of averages. And the world itself is in the law of averages, meaning two out of people will get something. You know, two out of ten will get do this, one out of this, whatever. Statistics is the law of averages. That's why we don't gamble in this teaching. We do not gamble. Some people say, oh yeah, I'm going to make $1 million. Well, I'm going to do it on the lotto. Now, maybe that's possible. But very rarely is that going to happen to anybody because that's the law of averages. And God does not throw dice. God does not throw dice. So move your consciousness up. Move the stories and the scenarios you're telling about yourself up to a different level, to a new consciousness. See yourself as magnificent. See yourself with superpowers if you want. See yourself with healing powers. You have to have healing powers inside of you. The world doesn't want you to know that you can heal yourself because what would they do with all these doctors and hospitals and so forth? Now, there's nothing wrong with doctors and there's nothing wrong with hospitals. If that's where our consciousness is at that moment, we have to use those things. We have to use those things. But we have to know that there are alternatives to that, that we can move up. You know, nothing wrong with taking a pill. We believe in this teaching that God is in a pill or a prayer. And if you need a crutch, you use a crutch till the leg heals or till the limb heals or whatever you're doing. Nothing wrong with that, but you do not rely constantly on that and say this is the only way that it can be done. You have to be able to think on a higher level. On a higher level. And we can all do that. We can all learn to think differently. We can learn to tell ourselves the correct stories about ourselves. And wouldn't that be wonderful to be able to do that? How many people still believe in Adam and Eve? That we all came from this thing called Adam and Eve. Well, it's in the Bible, you know. The creation story is in the Bible. It's in the Bible twice, in fact. One's called the short version, one's called the long version. It had nothing to do with Christianity or any of that. They were Babylonian myths. But every culture that has come into this world has come up with a creation story. They've all come up with the Garden of Eden. They've all come up with an Adam and Eve. You know, it maybe came from the crow or the hawk or this, that, the other thing. We came from this thing called God. We came from this thing called life. And that life is in us. Those stories are wonderful, but they're allegorical. They're not real. There was never anyone called Adam and Eve, people, please. There was not. But we keep thinking that. If you keep thinking those thoughts that you were that were embedded in you when you were children, how do you think you're going to make your life any better? How do you think you're going to be able to do it if you think, oh yeah, there was an Adam and Eve when we were kicked out of this Garden of Eden? For years I taught people, you're not kicked out of the Garden of Eden, especially here in Southern California. Look around you. This is a beautiful paradise we live in. How could we be kicked out? Now, maybe in Holland, where it's cold and dark and that, you could think you were kicked out of paradise or out of the Garden of Eden. But not here. Not here. How could you have even been? It cannot be. So you look around and you see those things. And then you come up with your own reasoning why you are here. Why are you here on this plane of action? To glorify this thing called God, this thing called life, but to glorify yourself and to find out what wonderful powers you have, what creative powers, what healing powers that you absolutely have. So that you can finally say, oh my goodness, I am one with this thing called God. I have the exact same qualities of God. This is the type of scenario. This is the type of story that you want to be telling yourself. Not thinking, and most people, and I hear it, and that's my, you know, television and so forth, it plays to all those old things. They never tell you anything new on there. Even so many people, and I was one of them, I remember, Star Trek and all. They think, oh, isn't that wonderful? We're going to go out into space and we're going to find all these wonderful new people and new civilizations and all. But we're always fighting with them. We're always at war with them. Or they're always fighting. Because we think that that has to happen. That's the story that we're telling ourselves. And if you tell yourself the story, you come up with a scenario, you're going to start playing those things out. So what kind of a life do you want? What kind of a life story do you want? Wouldn't you want one where you felt good about yourself all the time? Wouldn't you want one where there is no such thing as illness? In this, I don't remember when I was a child that there were so many illnesses out there. Now there are more and more illnesses because people keep making them up all the time. Now, are they real or not real? Well, that's not the debate if they're real or not real. The thing is that they're there and they exist, but they exist because they started in mind first. All things start in mind. That is why this is called science of mind, and this is why I teach that you must control your thinking. You must become a witness to your thoughts, and you must know that you're able to change those thoughts. That is the crux of this whole thing. You are in charge of your life. Do not buy in to all this stuff that's going on. Do not buy into it. And know that you are being taken care of. That this thing called God is not going to let you down. It never has left you down. Now we have this thing about the mind calendar running out. And this going on and that going on. Well, it took them for I don't know how long to decipher the mind calendar. Which here again is another tragedy of religion. Because if they wouldn't have wrecked all the tablets and books and so forth, the priests and the church, we would know what these things are saying. But with the Mayan calendar, we'll use that a moment. The Mayan calendar, yes, is going to run out in 2012, I believe. Then, oh, well, that must be the end of time then. That's as far as we can go, is 2012. No, it doesn't say that at all. The calendar is going to absolutely run out. But if you look at the calendar and you look at the petrographs and so forth that are on there, you will see that you have a choice. You can either go in this direction or you can go in that direction. There is a fork. But of course, most people don't see that. They say, oh, end of the world. There it is. We're going like hell in a handbasket. There we go. That's not true. It's not true. We're never going to go to hell in a handbasket. Why are we not going to go to hell in a handbasket? Because there's no such thing as hell. There is no such thing as hell. Where that came from was the world teaches duality. If you have right, you must have left. If you have up, you must have down. Do you remember the whole thing when the astronauts went up and they finally saw the Earth? They didn't know what was up and what was down. The Earth just hung there. What's up and what's down in the universe? No up and down the universe, just is. There it was, hanging. And everyone, all those astronauts, you know, that went and saw the Earth and went out into space, they all came back transformed. They all came back transformed because it was when you finally see something different, they say, oh my goodness, they transformed themselves. It's a transforming thing. And that's what we want to do with ourselves, isn't it? We want to transform. If you're not happy with yourself, you can transform yourself into anything you want to be. Anything you want to be. And you do that by changing your mind, by getting a better concept of yourself, and by telling yourself a different story. The world has been telling the same story for the last, well, I'm going to say 2,000 years, but it's much longer than that. But if you hear the same story for 2,000 years and you pass that on to the next generation, the next generation, the next generation, how ridiculous. The other night I watched just, well, maybe 15 minutes of some documentary that was about coal miners. About coal miners. Those coal miners are into the fourth generation. And the one boy, the fourth generation here, said, well, my grandfather was, and his father was, so there was nothing left for me to do but become a coal miner. To become a coal miner. There's lots of other things. But here again, do you think that's because that's passed on from generation to generation to generation? And I doubt that in the high schools that these kids are coming up in these coal mining regions, that they're teaching them that they can be something else. Because the company that runs the coal mine has to have workers. Has to have workers. So it's just going to go on and on and on. I'll tell you another little story about passing things on from one generation to the next generation, which is called The Sins of the Father, a revisitor on the son. A small town that I grew up in, well, I didn't grow up in the town. I was 3 miles outside of the town in farm country. But the little town had 2,000 people, and it was called Duncannon, Pennsylvania, on the Susquehanna River. A friend of the family's, her name was Matt, left Duncannon and was away about 30 years. When she came back, my mother and her high school friend, when she came back, she went downtown Duncannon. And my mother said, well, Matt, what did you see? Has Duncannon changed much? And she said, well, what I noticed is that now the children are occupying the bar stools that their fathers and mothers used to occupy. In small towns, that happens. You cannot get out of that. And that's what I'm trying to do for myself and for you people. Get out of that mindset. Get out of that thing where you're going to just pass the same thing on to the next person. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. You want to tell people, expand, do something. Excuse me. In August, I go back to Duncannon for my 50th high school reunion. Some of those people have never left. They will still be there, and they'll teach their children the exact same thing that they were taught. You see. Now, my father was a bricklayer, and I could have grown up being a bricklayer. And he said to me, Dallas, if you pick up a trowel, I'll break your wrist. I'll break your wrist. You're going to do something different. Otherwise, I would have become that and I would have taught. And I knew enough of his friends, his bricklaying friends, their children all grew up to become bricklayers. They all grew up to become bricklayers. We are puppets of our conditioning. Don't be a puppet of your conditioning. See yourself as something different. Break free of that. You can do it. You have a wonderful mind. And anyone who thinks they don't have a wonderful mind, that's a lie that your mind is telling you, because you're using the mind of God. There are no such things as individual minds. Now, how do I know that there's no such thing as individual minds? If everyone had an individual mind, we wouldn't be able to see the same thing. We would see something different. Because you see with the mind, not with the eyes. So there is only one mind, and it's operating in us and through each one of us, individualized. And it's a good mind. And you may use that mind. So you must realize that you are truly, truly being taken care of. Stop telling yourself stories that are nothing but twaddle. Stop telling yourself scenarios. Stop taking yourself down these roads that are absolute dead ends. Say to yourself, from right here and right now, I am going to learn to think differently. I am going to expand my consciousness. And I am going to expand it and allow abundance, prosperity, joy, and fulfillment to come into my life. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.